Coming up on TMS. Put it back, Jeffrey.
Pop guns? We got pop guns? Pop guns? Not pop guns?
Miles and Jeffrey at Disneyland. His arms wide.
20 years ago, this person was a lot younger.
I'm a moderate, not a full Star Wars fan.
Indiana Jones and the journey from the exit to the queue.
Strap on lightsaber.
I have two gray hairs.
Give me a second. I'll show you my dude.
Common Wookiee noises.
Spine reshuffling.
Butts on burner.
Playing Witchermon Go.
Why? With Wendy. And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Your super friends don't look very super anymore.
I was born in 200 log cabins. This is The Morning Stream. Shut up, baby, I know it.
And welcome to TMS, the morning stream for Thursday, August 12th, 2021. I am Scott Johnson, and with us today, the returning triumphantly, Brian Ibbett.
Yo ho, yo ho, I'm back.
And a belly full of rum. Nope, how's that song go? I don't know.
Podcaster's life for me.
Oh, there you go. That's it. Yeah, nailed it. You're back. When'd you get in? I've been dying to know, like, if there was any kind of like horribleness on the way back, or, you know, there's always stories.
No, I mean, the whole trip back was pretty, I mean, it was uneventful. My plan was to save some money and take the train to the airport. And again, the whole trip was kind of about like, all right, let's use up these expiring Southwest miles, because there was a trip the week that I couldn't take in 2020, obviously.
Yeah.
And needed to get the miles on the books. So scheduled this and said, all right, I'm going to fly out Monday morning, super freaking early. You all heard about that. Yep. Not going to talk about that again. And have 3 full days of the park and then fly back late on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And by late, I mean, you know, I'm not doing a red eye or anything, but it's a pink eye, I guess. Not a red eye.
all flights are potentially pink eye flights, by the way.
That's yeah, really, they totally is. Are. Yeah. So I left Anaheim yesterday at about 7 o'clock, a little before 6:55 was the flight.
That's a lot less, or it's a lot less early than the 2 a.m., 3 a.m., whatever it was you did before.
For sure. Yeah. And then 2 hours in flight to get home puts me back at home with the time change at 10 o'clock. And then I've got to get on the train that goes to downtown Denver, Union Station, and then take the train that goes from Union Station to the station closer to my house, and then drive from that station back home.
Gotcha.
I walked in the door at about 12:15 a.m.
Oh, good Lord.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh, 7 p.m. Got it. Okay. So,
yep, 7 p.m. at night.
Yeah. So, oh, okay. I have a question about this.
Yeah. Yeah.
you're on the plane at a dinner-y time. What is the current modus of a plane that's got like a 2-hour flight? It's just peanuts still? Do they even do that anymore?
Pretzels. Like, Southwest gave me pretzels and, still, what's with the half a drink? I mean, come on.
I agree, dude. Why?
Can you just give me a can, or, you know, give me the can and the cup with the ice in it?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, here is a bag full of salty pretzels and a shot glass full of 7-Up to wash them all down.
Yeah, it's lame. I don't understand it. I don't understand why we've gotten to a place where we are so cheap that a half a can is all you get for your $300 you spent with us or whatever. It's horrendous.
They probably could explain it by saying, well, if we brought a full can of soda for every person on the plane, potentially, then that increases the weight of the plane and we use X amount more gas and we'd have to increase our prices and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I could, and if I was a real, and usually what I do, if I want to be real smart about it, I get something in the terminal. I get a Coke Zero in the terminal and bring it on the plane. And for whatever reason, even though I had plenty of time in the terminal, I didn't do that this time. The reason why lately is because they've also, in addition to the half a can of soda, they've also really reduced the size of the little basket holder that sits on the seat in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
iPad Pro feels like the real potential straw to break the camel's back in that thing. Like,
oh yeah,
I feel like
those have gotten less sturdy, more rickety, less space for the actual
fold thing.
It's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah,
they're just slowly trying to eke us out so that you can't even fit a passenger in there, and then they'll go, oh shit, we don't have an airline anymore. We gotta have room for people. This is a bad idea.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So, it used to be able to take, like, if you brought a 16-ounce bottle of something on board, usually you could pull that basket thing out enough to be able to put the pop in there while you get situated and before you can have the tray table down, so you're not sitting there holding a bottle of pop.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was, so I didn't bring anything, and I wish I would have, because I was so dang thirsty, just dehydrated from this trip.
Oh, I'll bet. So you walked a lot. Well, let's talk about your last day. So
let's talk about my walking.
Yeah, we did the whole, like, walkthrough of the Star Wars area, which I thought was a blast. That was totally fun. If you guys missed the video yesterday, even if you heard the show and you're listening at home, go to the YouTube channel and just do the walk along with us, because we had the best internet for whatever reason. That worked, like, so good. You were clear as a day. Like, you were high def. You were high definition, Brian, in that video.
Yeah, it was glad that worked out, because that was a lot of fun actually walking through there. And I wish timing would have worked out to where Chewbacca, like, where we would have gotten Chewbacca on there, because he and I were waving, chatting, you know, talking to each other. He's like pointing at his ears going this, because I had AirPods in.
Yeah.
He's like, and I said, oh, it's a universal translator, so I can understand you.
How do they do the voice? Is it modulated through some kind of buttons or something? Or how's he do it? Do you know?
That's a really good question, because it was timed perfectly for his movements.
Yeah.
So I don't know if the actor was making those noises and he has a little microphone inside. His hands were up, so it's not like he was pushing a little soundboard.
Did it sound amplified? Like it was?
It did sound amplified. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, because he was up on a platform, and where I was standing, a good 50 feet away, I could hear him clear as day.
Huh.
Who knows? I mean, if I were doing something like that, and that was a place where Chewie would be constantly, I'd probably do like a little foot pedal system like common wiki noises or something.
Yeah, or maybe it's something that's, you know, maybe you can squeeze them just so when you talk you're just getting random stuff out of your mouth.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, no, that walkthrough was a blast, and that area is so cool for a part of the park that really only has two rides. I can't wait to see what they end up adding to that area, what they end up doing.
Is there room for more rides, do you feel like they could?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, that's the nice thing about rides. You can actually kind of weave them through space. That's not, you know, it's not like a big square space necessarily, but go behind a thing and then around a thing. And then now you got a ride. Why not?
It's not like Florida where it's like, oh, OK, well, let's just take another several miles of swampland and just keep expanding.
Yeah, yeah.
They actually do have, they've hit their limit width and lengthwise, but it's amazing how. You know, you're over on the train at Main Street, about to get on the train, and you hear pop guns or cap gun kind of noises.
Yeah.
And it's because the Jungle Cruise, which you think of as like down Main Street and then down the Adventureland walkway and stuff. And then you got to get on the boat and go on this whole ride. Yeah, it's right there. Jungle Cruise goes right behind the fire station of the
It feels Main like Street. if they like laid it all bare, you'd have the realization that this is like a Taco Bell parking lot. Like, you're just
right. Yeah,
you're not
totally.
Really that big of a space. It's just the way it's laid out and the way it's flowing and all that imagineering at work there, you know.
Right.
That's what
I do think about that the whole time I'm there, though. Like, oh, okay, how do they do this? And what's the way that they made this work? And how do they wind us through and all this stuff? And why is the ride back from it, or the walk back from Indiana Jones, as long as the queue walk to the ride? Why did they build it so that you're not walking through a gift shop or something on the way out? You just have a...
That one is weird. That's a weird long one.
As long a walk back as there is to get on.
Yeah, I remember being... My first run through there, I've been on that ride maybe 8 times total in my life. But the first time through there, I remember thinking, is this still the ride? Are we... What are we doing? Like, I really didn't know. It felt like we were never getting out of there. And when we finally did,
when did we get back to civilization?
Yeah. And probably if I really thought about it, it's because they've got some kind of strange layout where they have to accommodate space or
it's know. Right against the river of Jungle Cruise. So without a major modification there, there's no way to make the end of the ride closer to, you know, to the park entrance or the ride entrance.
Sure.
I think that's one of the best rides in terms of all the stuff you get before you get on the ride. I tweeted about this, but there are glyphs on the wall in different language. And if the walk was going slower, there's an actual app called the Play Disney app.
Yeah.
Which I think was great. I'll talk a little bit more about that later, but it actually has a glyph key. It's totally new. Yeah.
Okay.
And it's a good thing to keep your kids occupied while they're waiting in line for the ride.
Yeah.
And I'm amazed I didn't see more people using it. I don't know if they just haven't promoted it well enough as far as being as interacting with the ride you're about to get on, more than just a answer 12 Disney trivia questions and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But they have a keyboard in there where you can type the glyphs and translate and see what those things say. And I got one of them done because the walk was moving fast enough to be able to do it. But it was beware the eye of Mala or something like that. And the more of those you fill out, the more it fills out these maps that you've also got in the app. And then you can, you know, you get achievements for unlocking maps and things like that.
Sure.
It's really cool. So walking, we were talking about.
Yeah.
I looked at my health thing on my Apple phone, and I think some people call it an iPhone, and I have an average of about 28,000 steps per day for the last 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Dude, that's pretty good. That's really good. Like, I mean, if you're
sitting down. Yeah. And that's why I was walking like a toddler yesterday in the airport.
Yeah, it can wreck you after 3 days.
Oh, God, it really can. Yeah. It just, my feet are so sore and my back is sore. About halfway through the day yesterday, you know, maybe even like an hour after we did our phone call walkthrough thing.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, well, I got on, did my favorites again, Space Mountain, Haunted Mansion, and Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what else do I want to do?
Yeah.
Well, I could really be done. It's too bad my flight's not for another not for another 8 hours.
Sure.
So I start doing things like, all right, I haven't done the train in a while. It gets me off my feet for a little bit, so I went around and did that. I thought about doing the Mark Twain and riding the riverboat, because I don't think I've done that since I was a kid going there with my grandparents.
Oh, wow. That long ago. Wow.
That long ago. I decided not to do the Matterhorn this trip at all because of the just because of the spine reshuffling that thing does. They're about to do some rework on that ride.
Yeah.
And hopefully make it smoother.
Yeah. I'm looking, by the way, while you're talking, I'm looking at the Disneyland from the new Google Earth 3D view.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to see if it's got the Star Wars shit in there, but I don't know if I see it.
Oh, it has to.
It would, right? Why wouldn't you update that? You'd want.
Yeah, it's up there, the top left. The north west corner is all the Star Wars stuff. That gray.
How do you scroll on this damn thing? Oh, there we go. Okay, so up here, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's Peter Pan, King Arthur. I think this is old. Huh. Or am I just in the wrong place?
Let's see. Peter Pan, King, you're looking more central. It's north. West. So,
north.
Do you see where it says Docking Bay 7 Food and Cargo? Or are you looking at the link that Bobby sent by chance?
No, I'm looking at
Google.
Or
Captain Kipper sent?
I'm zooming around with Google Earth at the moment. And I just don't know how up to date this is.
Oh, yeah. I'm on just regular Google
Maps.
Oh,
there it is. It's here. Okay. I see it now. Yeah. Oh, that's so rad from above. Wow. Yeah. That looks like.
Yeah.
We're landing. I sense the force is down there. I'm landing. Like, there's a weird. That's really rad.
It does give you a good idea of like how big each of those areas are. Like, looking at Tomorrowland is pretty large when you look at it from this view, because all that Autopia takes up so much more room than you'd expect.
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking at a place I watched you walk under and film. That's weird.
Oh, cool.
There's, by the way, I don't know if anyone's ever messed with this. I'm pretty sure it's on the the Quest was for sure on desktop when I was using my old HTC Vive. Mm-hmm. But there's a VR app for Google Earth where it's, even though it's real chunky and gross, this 3D representation stuff they do, they scan it. And from far away, it looks great, but you get close and it's like, oof, real warpy and weird. Mm-hmm. But you can walk around in that stuff in VR. And so literally go down and hang out in Disneyland and walk down all the streets and whatever. But it looks like a hellscape because everything's like low poly and ugly.
Right, right.
But anyway, that's really cool.
Yeah. So I was noticing, not only was I kind of feeling done, I think 2 days for me is the right amount of time for Disneyland. One day at Disneyland, I was correct. I've been calling it the Magic Kingdom versus California Adventure. And the locals, you know, Kathy and Leslie and people that we met with for the TMS meetup, were saying, no, they just call it Disneyland. You keep calling it the Magic Kingdom. And it's funny because even in the park, they say, thank you for coming to Disney's Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Please clear the parade route or whatever. So
get your ass in gear and leave the park, says the guy.
Yeah, but I guess, okay, so locals call it Disneyland. not only was I done, though, I think it was pretty apparent. Obviously, people weren't there the same length of time that I was. Yep. Like, all these families didn't show up Monday and leave at the end of the day Wednesday, but for whatever reason, I noticed more of it on Wednesday, kids being done with it. And actually, kids and parents both being done with it.
Yeah.
One of the stores, I was looking at holocrons, Jedi holocrons in one of the shops, and this mom just basically kept repeating, it didn't, without any change in tone or inflection, put it back, Jeffrey, 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 put it back, Jeffrey. Like rapid fire like that, longer than I just did it.
Yeah, that sounds right to me. I mean, this is part of the experience, right? Your kids are supposed to be tired and cranky and dragging their feet back to the hotel. Like, it's kind of the worst. I don't know why people put themselves through it. It's rough.
Totally. Yeah. It was in the bathroom. I won't be very descriptive in here, but in one of the stalls and a couple stalls down, I heard this kid freaking out, and this dad was like, all right, Miles, just come on, get it together. Can you get it? Can you get yourself together? Can you get together? And I hear him, is there a sensor? And he's like, yes, there's a sensor. You don't have to push the button or anything. And then one of the other toilets, because they all have these sensors on it, one of the other toilets does its auto flush. And then he, like,
because they're so strong, dude. They,
I know.
Like a nightmare.
Just, like, and I come out, and the dad just looks like he's had a day, and it's only like 3 hours into since opening. And this kid has got his hands covering his ears. I'm thinking he might have like a sensory.
Sure.
Sensory issue.
It could be something sad. Like
it's that. A lot, or he just is afraid of the toilet monster sucking him down or something.
Yeah. My thing with kids is they weren't brats by the end or upset or crying or anything. They just were afraid of everything because Space Mountain freaked them out so bad. So the rest of the whole rest of the time, like, you guys want to go on that one? It looks like it's maybe too fast, Dad. I don't know. And they were little. Yeah. Nick was like 4, 6, 5, whatever he was. Like the last time we took the kids, and Taylor was 12 and having seizures at the time, so we had to be careful with her anyway. And Carter was like, Space Mountain, F off the rest of Disneyland. If it's not slow moving and looks like a cute elephant, I'm not getting on it.
There is a strategy. And I don't know why, as parents, we don't figure out the strategy, knowing these parks and having been to them as kids and knowing what we ended up liking and hating at first and that sort of thing.
Sure.
You've really got to say, all right, we're going to start over here with Dumbo, and they're going to see the carousel, and we're not even going to touch frickin' Mr. Toad's Wild Ride until after.
This is a good idea. This is a great idea. Yeah.
You've just got to really kind of be careful and say, all right, I think we're good. Let's try Space Mountain. What do you think? We've been working up to this, kids. You ready?
That's amazing. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. So somebody in chat or on Discord said, oh, I hope Brian brings a whole bunch of GoPro footage.
Oh yeah.
The GoPro stayed here. And I was thinking about this a lot, and it kind of confirmed it when I was there. Unless you get on the front of each ride, the GoPro video is going to be the backs of people's heads and not be very exciting. And I just didn't want to spend the time on saying, can I wait for the first row for California Scream, or I guess in Credit Coaster now, or
Pirates of the Caribbean. Everybody going, Brian, you should take your GoPro, is a little like Dance Monkey Dance. Like what I had hoped is that if you did take it, it would have zero impact on your good time.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it would have been annoying to try to use it.
It would have been annoying. And I was able to take advantage of a lot of single rider status. Smuggler's Run, you get off that ride, you get back on it, basically. And it's like an instantaneous loop. It's the one where you fly the Millennium Falcon with a group of up to six people. And they'll just keep putting more single riders in there until you have six, and you get to be engineer and pilot and that sort of thing.
Sure.
Space Mountain has a single rider line, which I didn't discover until the last time I went on Space Mountain.
Yeah.
But a lot of these rides have a single rider line that lets you zip right past. You're going to be at the mercy where they put you. It's never going to be in the front. It's never like anyone says, well, we only have one person waiting for the front of the roller coaster, so I guess you're up there. So... anyway,
yeah.
Rainbow Bright says it perfectly. They have POV videos on YouTube. No need to ruin the riding experience. Now, where the GoPro would have been fun is people watching and parents, you know, and they're dealing with their done children and being done themselves. And it also brings up a question that I had, and I'm glad this kind of reminded me of it. Tons, I'd say one out of every four groups of people that I saw were wearing matching Disney shirts.
Oh, geez.
That say like, Dad, on the best day ever. Mom, on the best day ever. Kids, on the best day ever. Like, in the brother, sister. And there were quite a few that were birthday, like shirts celebrating Sebastian's third birthday at Disneyland. Da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And I'm genuinely curious, because you end up with a really nice souvenir of the day, right? Sure, you'll look back and say, oh, remember that great time we had there?
Right.
But do you ever wear that shirt again? Do you go to a barbecue 5 years later and wear your, oh, is this my shirt from Colin's birthday back in 2014?
It seems a little weird. And also, it'd be the reason I would never get one, because I do think ahead and think, is this a shirt I would wear? And, you know, in any other context. And if the answer is no, then no. Why?
Bobby Frank says, I sure as hell do. Do you really?
Do you really?
It also makes
sense. He lives in the South.
Oh, not the shirt, but the photos. The photos would be worth it for sure. I really want Bobby to fall, because he says, I sure as hell do. Well, we'll talk to him in a minute.
Yeah, we'll get a follow-up.
One last thing I wanted to talk about. Last experience.
Real quick here. Check your Discord. This is my favorite POV video of anyone ever in any kind of ride.
Is this where she gets hit by a bird?
Yeah, it's one of those slingshot rides, and she immediately gets smacked by a bird. I'm a little worried about the bird. I don't think the bird did well.
Oh, the bird does not. Yeah. You've said...
Isn't that great? I love it so much.
Did you remember that photo of Fabio on a roller coaster?
Oh, yeah, dude.
Where he's like, the bird, at least with her, the bird was like, stayed intact. Fabio coming off that ride was like, it looked like a Friday the 13th sequel.
Someone
with seagull blood.
Someone's going to track that down, because it's something else. For anyway. Sure. All right, sorry.
Lightsaber building experience.
Yeah.
If you are even, there it is right there, yeah. If you are I consider myself a moderate Star Wars fan and not a full Star Wars fan or something like that.
Right.
I don't care. This is like such a great, such a great way to spend some time. And spend a little money too. But this is my
It looks
lightsaber.
Hefty. Is it hefty?
It is hefty. I'm trying to think. All right, here's a good comparison. Carafe full of coffee, lightsaber. Metal carafe full of coffee, same weight as lightsaber.
Really?
This has got some weight to it.
So wait, whose is that? Let me guess.
It's mine, Scott. No, I mean, that's like, the thing.
So it's not designed after a specific character?
No, okay. No, that's the thing. So you go in and they say, okay, here are four choices of part styles.
Yeah.
And you've got like a more Jedi looking thing, a couple different Jedi ones, and one that's kind of more like it's got horn or like a cool bony horns and stuff that you can, like a more natural looking thing. And it's like power and control versus this kind or that kind. Then once you make that choice, you're like, okay, well, that's kind of the range I want to be in.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Then they go, then once you're in there, they give you a tray full of parts. You make this thing look like, I think I was figuring it out, between color choices and all the different pieces you can put on there. There's probably like 600 different lightsaber looks that you could end up with.
So it's all modular, sort of.
It's all modular, and like you assemble this thing and
so it's making sounds. I assume it does lightsabery sounds. Am I hearing that?
Let me turn this on. Yeah, oh, there we go.
Oh, it has a thing for the deal. Look, you guys, actual light came out of that. Brian didn't hook anything up to it. It's
nope,
just a
I didn't.
Light.
It's actual blade.
This is a light blade. Yeah.
And here's what's really cool. So I went with Mace Windu purple because I think it's cool.
Yeah. Because say it again. Say it again. No.
Say my name again.
Say my name again.
But yeah, unlike the Force VX ones, and I do have a Force VX one over here.
That's what I have. I have one like your other one somewhere.
Yeah. You can buy kyber crystals. So I have a red kyber crystal here.
Oh.
And I can take out that purple kyber crystal and put in a red one, and all of a sudden my lightsaber is red.
No way.
Yes.
You're going to do that right now? I want
to
see this.
I can't do that right now because I need to watch a YouTube tutorial about how to take these things apart. Because I don't know if I have to. The only way I know to do it right now is to like disassemble the whole thing and put the other kyber crystal. Yeah. And I was looking at the instructions. You know, you get something.
Well, as number five once said, no disassemble. So
no disassemble.
Yeah.
This is funny though. The so they give you a really nice padded bag.
Yeah.
So that you can walk around with it at the park or you know take it home. And the airlines, even though this thing is way longer than a typical thing you can put in the carry-on, there's actually a page where the TSA says yes, you can take lightsabers on flights and blah blah blah.
Oh. And, okay.
By the way, Southwest, big shout out. They were awesome. They did not, even though they were supposed to, they didn't count it as an extra carry-on item. So I didn't have to bag check at the gate. They're like,
oh, good. That's good.
They're like, when you walk through, I'm going to turn my head like this so that I don't see the lightsaber you're carrying on board as well.
Well, that makes me feel good about the TSA ignoring certain things and not others and, you know, just kind of choosing and picking. Well done, TSA.
Right, exactly.
You're worth
it. Anyway, one of the things that the bag comes with is this, like, warning, because it has a strap on it. It says, caution, entanglement hazard, keep away from very young children, blah, 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 don't place around neck.
Right.
But I do like, you know, it's an entanglement hazard because, as we know from Mos Eisley, we wish to avoid any sort of military entanglements.
Entanglements, yeah, exactly. Yeah, well done.
Yes.
Well, that's great. Yes, it has a strap on, Dice Tomato. You heard him right.
It does have a strap on.
Yeah, you heard it. Yes. Well, this is great. Well done. Sounds like you had a really good time. I hope your legs get back to their norm.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I'm sure I'll be walking in no time.
Yeah, he'll be back to, back to normal soon. For now, though, we're going to bring in somebody who sat in for you yesterday.
Yeah.
Our science correspondent, Bobby Frankenberger, who gets his own little theme here, if I can find it.
I think science
will make you go poo-poo.
Sure will. Hey, everybody, look who it is. You know that guy. He was here yesterday. It's Bobby Frankenberger joining us once again. Hey, Bobby, how's it going?
It's going really well. How are you guys?
Oh, you know.
We're good.
Getting her done.
Thank you for doing such a great job co-hosting. I haven't listened to the whole show yet, but from what I heard from Monday's show and yesterday's show, you and Kim did a great job as filling co-host. So thank you for doing that, for stepping in.
He kept your seat warm, but he did it with huge fart injections.
He did it with science. I think he used a Bunsen burner to keep my seat warm.
There's science to big hard farts. I get it.
Bunsen burner.
Nothing in science, yes.
Bunsen burner, there you go. Hey, Bobby, good to have you back, even though we just did this 24 hours ago. But you were going to bring a mystery science subject with you today, and I can't wait to hear what it is. What are we doing today?
I thought that since schools are starting up again and people are thinking about the scary proposition of COVID in schools, that I'd do a rundown of what we know about COVID in kids, because that information has actually changed a lot. over the course of the pandemic and just see where we are and what you can do and how best to protect your family and stuff like that.
That's a good idea. I know that everyone always talks about how the Delta variant is a little less kid friendly. Like it's goes
well,
a little bit after
in so much
higher
in
numbers.
So much as it's
kid tested, mother approved.
No, I see. Okay. Mom
depends
like kicks
on the mothers.
I guess. Mom like kicks for what kicks is not, that sort of thing. Yeah.
I think it's less kid friendly in the sense that it's less friendly to everyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. It's just less friendly in general. Well, actually, it's kind of pretty friendly. You know what I mean? Like it's.
Oh yeah. It loves you. It wants your warm body real bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So people are thinking about that and they're worried, what do we do? Because a lot of places aren't, they're not putting in great regulations in their schools. Like my state included, our governor has decided that, oh, this is terrible. And there are lots of southern states that are like this. I don't want to say southern states and point it out, but it's true. Like our governor has told all the school districts, he worked into the budget that the schools are not allowed to mandate masks or they risk losing state funding.
Yeah. They're now suing him for that, by the way, but yes, you're right.
Yeah, there's a bunch of people and there's a lot of states that are having similar situations where governors are acting like fools. Anyway, because of that, people are having to send their kids back to school. And I think a lot of people are wondering, how do I best take care of things? So the first thing you want to do and know, and this is a refrain we're hearing all the time, but I'm going to dig in just a little bit, is you want to make sure you drive home the point to your kids as best as you can to wear their masks. Okay. Because masks are still the best way to prevent SARS-CoV-2 infection and the disease COVID-19 that you have, besides the vaccines, of course.
Right.
But, you know, kids right. under 12 can't even get it. So,
right.
And that's where my kids are. So, masks. Masks even, by the way, reduce the need to social distance. So a lot of people worry about that because their kids are in classrooms now. Like our school district doesn't even offer a hybrid virtual option anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to send our kid back to school. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what do you do about that? Are kids actually going to stay 6 feet apart? Masks make it so there's actually research that shows that new data suggesting that masks can reduce the need to distance to 3 feet or maybe even less.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's because viral load is the key, right? How much virus you get inside you is the key, and masks, because it's a respiratory illness, masks make it very much more difficult for the virus to get inside you.
Right,
because it has to attach itself to water droplets, and the water droplets really are the things that the mask is small enough to catch or reduce. It's not the size of the virus; it's the size of the water droplets.
That's right.
Exactly.
Size means something here.
Size is everything.
Size is everything.
Yeah, size is everything in this case. So in some cases, parents, I mean, I don't know how they do anything different, but there are parents who are just like, they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because if on the one hand, like, where was it? Somebody, I can't remember now and I don't have the link here, but there was a school that had opened. And it was a school that was really hard-nosed about, we're not doing virtual classes this year, and we're not doing masks. Get your kids here, whatever. And the first week of school, the population of kids that were at school was like 20% of what is normal.
Oh, wow.
Which tells me parents didn't do it. Parents were like, no, I think we're not going to maybe do that. Do you
think? And without a stay-at-home option, these kids are just not getting...
They're not
education.
Getting anything and so here's the question, and this doesn't have anything to do with science so much, more social science, but do you think a bunch of parents are going to opt for homeschooling? Like, that's an option.
Oh, well, I know some people who have pulled their kids out of school and are doing homeschooling.
Yeah,
so
I know.
Anecdotally, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how much of that there'll be. But then, so what happened with this particular school is they turned right around and said, oh, okay, we are going to do virtual classes. because they didn't have a choice. It's like, well, yeah, the kids aren't coming in, so what are you going to do? And I don't know. It's so freaking weird. We really should be. Okay, let me ask you this. I made a point on Twitter the other day about how the polio vaccine saved a bunch of kids' lives and was, you know, a huge innovation and everything in its time. And of course, back then, it had its detractors also. And, you know, like any time in human history, some people are for stuff, some are against it or whatever. And now we live in a time where everybody can have their voice heard. So it feels maybe more loud than it actually is. But even 3-4 years after that vaccine, the vaccination rate for polio was only 50% in the country. We are already at something like 70 in the States.
I think just done. Oh, yes. Yeah, in the States. Right.
For COVID. Mm-hmm. So it seems like maybe we're actually doing better. And like all we hear about is all the shit, but we're actually doing better than we usually do. Maybe because information can spread fast, which means that also misinformation can. But 70 is better than 50. You know?
Yeah, like, for sure. I mean, you can tell that we're doing better because while case numbers might be rising, hospitalization numbers aren't rising as quickly this time like they did last time.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, we're not getting as many people vaccinated as we need to. But on the other hand, we definitely started with the right group of people in order to reduce death.
Yeah.
So and almost all those people, 70%, that number, by the way, I know you were talking about it just not too long ago on I think it was TMS. That 70% number is in eligible people. So the percentage is a bit less, more like half for all people. But that's because, you know, kids under 12 can't get vaccinated. So of all the people that can get vaccinated, we have about 70%.
I want to share with you guys a comment I got on Instagram. Enjoy this one. This is pretty fun.
Oh God. Okay.
I did a comic about how, the difference between, you know, a 30-year-old veteran of disease studies and research and hospitals and everything, compared to somebody who learned everything from a Facebook meme and they were on the toilet when they learned it, but they think they know just as much. It was that kind of joke.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I got. Scott, have you ever been paid to promote the vaccine? You are an influencer, and I would like to know.
Paid to promote the vaccine, yes. Yeah. Yes, I've been approached by Pfizer and Moderna.
Johnson & Johnson, they said there'd be a name problem, so they didn't. They turned me down, but these other guys, forking over the cash, man.
Yeah, unfortunately, they want to give me the payments in two lump sums, and then I can't even deposit the check for 2 weeks after the last payment.
And
so,
the Pfizer one's all in freaking francs, which is old French money they don't even make anymore. Like, give me some euros. I know what you guys are up to over there. Anyway, they did send me some bratwurst, so it's all fine. Yeah, I don't know how to communicate with these people. Have I shared my new? I have a new theory, or I have a new outlook on internet life. I used to really agonize over whether I should block somebody or not, because I used to be like, well, maybe they have a tiny point, and it's worth reaching out and discussing this. Maybe. I'm not doing that anymore. Freaking F off.
Oh, no.
I want you out of my life. Goodbye. I don't want to talk to you anymore.
If they get some validation from getting blocked, good. But that's all they're going to get from me at the end.
Yeah. And if they feel that, what a weird thing to feel. Like, you feel validated. For me to get you out of my life took two clicks. Mm-hmm. How are you validated for anything? Like, you can't even validate parking.
I pushed that snowflake's buttons.
And then they move on to whatever. I don't even care. I don't care how they feel. Like,
it's about whatever you want. Your well-being, your mental well-being, is more important than their whether they're validated.
Because I know
I'll listen to anybody's point of view if they approach it with logic and reason and an open mind to say, well, here's what I think. I'll admit that I could be wrong. Just like I say the same thing, I'll admit I could be wrong, you know, in what I say as well. And I'm open-minded to be able to listen to the other side. But if they come at me like,
like, prove it, you can't, like that. Like
right.
That.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Then it's like, okay, you're, man, there was a great quote. It's funny because it came from the magic, magician industry. Like, an open mind. Oh, darn it. I'll have to find it.
I like the name, the magic magician industry. I like that.
Well, I was trying the magic community, but I don't want people to think I was talking about Magic the Gathering.
Are you talking about don't keep such an open mind that your brain falls out or something?
There
like that?
You go.
No, but I like that. Jeez.
Yeah, my whole thing is like, I mean, they know my email address. It's not like I hide it. You can contact me and actually talk to me if you really wanted to. Instead, you're just doing drive-bys, prove it you can't. It's freaking F off. Get out of here.
Well, anyway, back to kids and vaccines.
Yeah.
Because all I've told everybody was you need your kids to wear masks. But you know what? Kids don't. You can't. Once they're at school and all their friends start taking off their masks, there's a really good chance your kids not. And in my school, the teachers aren't allowed to tell kids to put their masks back on because that's all part of the governor's foolishness.
Yeah.
So what do we know about? So let's say your kid's in school. What do we know about the transmission rates in kids now? It used to be early on in the pandemic, all the talk was how kids don't transmit the virus as well as much as adults. You remember that? People were talking about that.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the information that has come out is that the CDC has said that the transmission and infection rates among children is more common than was originally reported. In fact, ages 5 to 17 seem to be comparable to the 18 to 49 population, so adults. Kids seem to be able to transmit COVID just as much as adults can. And the 0 to 4-year-olds is about half of that, but those kids aren't typically in school, maybe in daycare, but their ability to spread is comparable to like the 65 plus age range. So basically what you can say is that kids are transmitting this just as readily as adults. That's what the data the CDC has so far is saying that.
Sure.
So that's another argument for wear your masks, right? Have your kids drive home that point. But the good news is that we do know that kids still don't have as severe of an infection. Death in children is very, very, very rare. The numbers I have in front of me are since the start of the pandemic, and that this factors in Delta and everything, there have been 271 deaths in ages 5 to 17 in the U.S. That's it, 271, and 120 deaths in ages 0 to 4. Now, those are, try convincing the parents of those children that that's not a lot. Yes, people are still dying. So you still, but just know that if this eases your worry at all, parents, just know that it's infection in children is not as bad. The symptoms are milder, and often no symptoms at all. But again, that's in a different, looking at it a different way, that can be really concerning.
Yeah.
Because if they're just as likely to transmit it, but it doesn't look the same or look as bad as adults, can it go more easily missed?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Wow. So you have to be careful, do all that. And and wear masks.
Yep. Guy up the road who I was telling you guys got the Delta variant in the middle of a scout camp. Jeez Louise. he's week 5 of oxygen. So don't be like him. Get the damn vaccine.
Yeah. So let's say your kids do. So what that means is you need to be on the lookout with your kids who are in school. You need to be on the lookout for these mild symptoms. You need to be looking at sore throats, runny noses. These are the types of mild symptoms that kids get. Yes, I know kids get these symptoms all the time.
You just look at a kid wrong and he gets a runny nose and a sore throat.
Yeah.
But so what can you do about it? First thing, I think we as parents with young children in school, we need to be very proactive about looking at those things. I know it's not always possible to keep your kid out of school, but maybe when you see those mild symptoms, get tested as early as possible. There are a lot of places around the country now that I know our school district offers free tests for kids that are in school. So go get them tested. If you don't and you have the means, there are lots of really fast 15-minute antigen tests that you can get at drugstores. A lot of them they're sold out right now, so be on the lookout for them. But like $25, $35 tests, it might not be a bad idea to have a couple of those on hand. When you see them for sale, grab one or two if you can afford it and have it on hand so that you can test your kid and at the very least have peace of mind. People talk about whether they're accurate or not. They are between 91 and 96% accurate is the last numbers I saw from in July. These quick antigen at home antigen tests.
Yeah.
So that's don't worry good. About that.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And I assume, if you do find out your kid is test positive, you know, take them to the doctor and have it confirmed. But tell your school as soon as you know, so mm-hmm. that they can do what they need to do. And that's, we just all have to work together with our kids having to go to school. We got to work together to make it so we can limit this spread as much as possible.
Yeah.
Because they can easily take it home to other adults who are more at risk for severe things. Because we don't know. You just have to be careful.
Yeah. We're still in weird zone time. All right. Excellent stuff, as always. If you want deeper dives into the scientific world, boy, howdy, is there a podcast for you. All around science. I always say all about, and I don't know why I do that. But Bobby,
because there's science all about.
I know you've told us yesterday, but do it again. Where can people get it?
It, like you said, it's all around science, and we try to explain what might seem like complicated science stuff on a weekly basis, and sort of. Just bring it down and talk about it in plain English and try not to be too preachy and pedantic about it. We just like to talk about science. And this tonight I'm recording this upcoming Monday's episode, and we're talking about an equally world affecting thing that we wish we all could have avoided by being better people, which is climate change. Yeah. and we talk a lot about, you know, is it human caused, blah blah blah. We just want to go in a different direction, which is we just wanted to talk about so all this climate change is happening, what are the effects that we're seeing? Like, if we talk about all the evidence and how we know it, but okay, what are the actual effects that we're seeing, like heat waves and droughts and wildfires, and why is it that climate change is making those things more frequent and more severe?
Yeah, well, that'd be good. Tune in and find out. Yeah. AllAroundScience.com.
Also, I would wear that t-shirt because I'm cheap.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thanks for the update on
That's right. We were talking about that. Okay. So you'd wear the Colin's third birthday Disneyland shirt. You'd go to a barbecue wearing that. And
yeah, because I wear t-shirts every day, and I'm not going to buy a new one if I've already got one.
It's a fair point. It's a fair point. Look, save your pennies, everybody. That's what we're saying.
I think that these people who are buying shirts and going to Disneyland aren't cheap.
No.
Because those shirts aren't cheap.
No. But they're also,
but if someone would buy it for you, yes.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Right. It's usually some grandpa who's now out of money. Well done, everyone.
Right, exactly.
Bobby, have a fantastic week. We'll see you next time. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, Wendy will be here. This break, this song, brought to you by Guess the Connection. Brian, what's going on with that today?
Yeah, so no Coverville today. Tomorrow there will be a Guess the Connection. Prizes, stuff, all sorts of goodies. I don't know what we'll give away, but it'll probably be another Coverville mystery loot bag. That'll be tomorrow at 2:30 p.m., just a little while before TMS p.m., so come win a prize. Listen to six cover songs, figure out what they have in common. Besides the fact they're cover songs.
Sure.
Start your Friday. Start your weekend off with a win.
Nice. Very good. All right, let's do a song. What do you got?
Let's do a song. This one comes to us. Where are these guys from? They have a brand new album coming out in September, September 24th. The band is called Public Service Broadcasting. So PSB. Their brand new album is called Bright Magic. They're four dudes, but this vocal or this album or this song adds vocals from Andrea Casablanca, and for me gives this song kind of a Church's feel. So if you like that electronic music with female vocals as much as I do, then you're gonna dig this. Once again, the band is called Public Service Broadcasting. This is the new song Blue Heaven. featuring Andrea Casablanca.
If you close your eyes and let the music play, keep our love alive, I'll never fade away. Remember me, though I have to say goodbye. Remember me. And it's okay to cry forever if I'm far away. I hold you in my heart. I sing a secret song to you each night we are apart. Remember me. Though I have to travel far, remember me. Each time you hear a sad trombone, know that I'm with you. The only way that I can be, until you're in my arms again. Remember me. If you close your eyes and let the music play, keep our love alive, I'll never fade away. If you close your eyes and let the music play, keep our love alive, I'll never fade away. Remember me, for I will soon be gone. Remember me, and let the love we have live on. And know that I'm with you, the only way that I can be. So until you're in my arms again, remember me.
A scientist has to admit that there are some pretty serious religious overtones to all this.
I'm a gigantic brain.
The Morning Stream, the next best thing since sliced bread.
Right, we have returned.
We hath returned.
Yeah. Who's that song
that,
again?
That band again is Public Service Broadcasting. The song is called Blue Heaven, featuring Andrea Casablanca. Check out the brand new album called Bright Magic, coming out September 24th on Play It Again, Sam.
Not Records. To be confused with My Blue Heaven. They're very different.
No, not that crooner, that great crooner tune, but a whole different thing altogether.
Yeah.
Check this out, Scott. So
we'll see what you got
there. You can see... right inside there is the purple kyber crystal.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. You just inserted it. Oh, there's Wendy.
So hello, Wendy.
Brian's sorry. Showing off his lightsaber that he got at Disneyland this week. And it's pretty cool. It has like interchangeable crystals so you can do different colors if you want it.
Yeah. So I'm putting in the red one right now.
I'll
fire that up at the end of the show.
It's because we're
nerd
man-babies.
Disneyland like crowded? It was
less crowded. It's funny because there were parts that felt as crowded as any time I've ever been there, but the lights, the I'm seeing lights as I put this in here. The lines for rides were the lowest I've ever seen. So I think it was just like a visual thing. Like it looked like it was crowded, but it really wasn't as crowded as some areas might make it appear. You know, everybody's walking down Main Street all at the same time. So of course it's going to look busier there. Yeah. So it just happened to be, I don't know. The lines certainly didn't support the fact that it was as busy as it looked.
First week of school for local districts, I think, or some of them anyway.
Oh, that could be true.
Yeah. Plus, yeah. Brian went a Monday through
Wednesday.
Kind of a good way to beat.
Not a big day for people to go to Disneyland for sure.
Yeah, you stacked your chances, and I think that's good. That's the way I would want to do it.
For sure. God, yeah.
I hate crowds. Hey, Wendy, it's my sister Wendy. Oh, we got to play this. Hold on. Where the hell is it? Here it is, right here. Nope, that's not it. Okay, here we go. Everyone knows it's Wendy. All right, Wendy's here. It's Wendy Dunford, my sister. She's a real therapist, by the way. She's the
mother. And a real sister.
Yeah, and a real sister.
Unreal.
That's true. Yeah, actually, she's my only full blood sister. Not that it matters, but you know.
Oh, it does genetically.
Genetically, so it does. Sure. What? Yeah.
What do I have in my future? You're ahead of me.
Your skin is horrible. You have bad white skin like me, so you're gonna probably always have to just really be careful with the sun and you know
skin cancer.
All that, yeah. I had that one thing removed when I was 20, but nothing since then. What else do you got going on? Mom has high blood sugar. So did dad. Blood pressure. That's a fun one to deal with. Yeah, you got all kinds of fun stuff coming up and not that far off. Anyway.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you.
Look at what you've got to look forward to and sooner than you think.
Yeah.
Oh, I did. Around the corner.
Your sister and mine are one of our Korean sisters. Well, actually, we think now she's maybe from Vietnam after the 23andMe thing we did. But anyway, or not 23andMe. What's it called? Yeah. No, is that it?
Yeah, 23andMe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, she, I put up a video or something. She goes, "You have gray hair." And I said, "Well, I don't know what time's like for you." You know. It's just, this is what happens, and you're getting it soon. And she wrote back, I love you. And then after that, I have two gray hairs. All right.
Great. What? Great.
They got that good Asian blood, man. They don't age.
That's amazing.
I know. My brother Matt, he looks 15 still. I don't get it. So anyway, well, he's starting to look a little wiry, but whatever. Hey, let's get to it here. We got a really brief but kind of hard-hitting email, and I sent it to Wendy, and I wasn't sure. I was like, we want to do this one? And you were like,
we want to know more, but I know we can't know more.
Yeah, well, I really do. Okay. It's going to make everybody want to know what the frick happened here, but let's go ahead and read it, and then we'll see where we want to go with it. It says, "Hi, Wendy and the boys. Dave here, which is not my real name. Years ago, I did something really terrible. I want to make it very clear that what I did was not illegal, but terrible all the same, and I think I might have ruined some people's lives in the process. This was about 15 years ago. Without telling you what happened, I am wondering if you have advice for someone that is trying to come clean after a really long time. I really need to get it off my chest and see if I can fix some of what I did. Sorry to be so vague. Thanks, Dave." Again, not my real name, he says. You know, the perfect way to hide who you are is to have that actually be his real name, because then he's thrown us off.
Right, because then you're thinking it's any name but Dave.
Yeah.
And yeah,
but Dave.
It's David.
So, okay. Yeah, it's just Dave. We go by David. So, when I first read this, I just thought, and like when I first started reading, I was like, whoa, what did you do? I don't even know if I want to know this. Yeah. This is like going to make me, you know, we're all now part of the cover up or whatever.
Are we accessory to whatever you did?
But then he didn't say.
That it wasn't illegal. But I really want to know like more about I think I might have ruined some people's lives in the process. Like, how badly did you ruin their lives?
Right. Does it mean you lied so hard that it
caused friendships to end, or
sure, someone get a divorce because of it? Did you lie about somebody
else? Also, like, if you people's is plural.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, there are more than one person whose lives might have been ruined, and what degree do you know? I mean, I know many people whose lives have been ruined by an interaction that is considered illegal, but that person never knows how destroyed that other person's life is. So I want to know how they know.
Yeah.
Like, and they think, is that just because you wonder because it was bad and you worry about their lives, or Have you followed them on Facebook? And
yeah, and they may have seen the direct results of it. Like, you could imagine, like, I don't know, if you you go to a family party and you make something terrible up about somebody there, or you, I don't know what it would be, but then they would,
right?
You would see that falling apart.
You could see friendships ending or relationships coming to an end, and I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't be illegal, but it would be, obviously, you'd feel guilty about that.
Yeah. So I guess we have to, we have no choice to wander into this not knowing the severity, really, other than how he's described it and not knowing what it was exactly. But this concept of coming clean, looking for forgiveness, I think there's themes here that we could probably riff on, right?
Totally. So obviously this person is smart enough not to give us more details. But also, it may or may not be an indication that they're, you know, they're at a certain stage of readiness to do something about it. So we have various stages of change. Maybe you guys have heard this. There's the pre-contemplative stage of change. And that is like kind of noticing you need to do something. You're not quite yet at really contemplating doing it. And it sounds like this guy has moved from pre-contemplation to contemplation. Like, okay, I got to do something different. 15 years. So whatever happened for the last 15 years, probably not in the contemplation stage, but more in the pre-contemplative of, is this, you know, pushing it in the back of your mind or trying to forget about it or whatever. But for some reason right now, after 15 years, this is something Dave feels like he needs to come clean about. So my guess is coming clean, I don't know, it could just be the words that he used, but that just sounds like confession.
Something he wants to say. Come clean to the people whose lives he
potentially. If there's wrong. If that's not confession, I don't know what confession even is, because that sounds like first of all,
I mean, somebody coming clean to us, or coming clean to telling somebody what happened, just so that he can get it off his chest and not be poisoned by this guilt.
Yeah, and he even said,
he says, "Fix it."
Yeah, he wants to fix it.
Oh, it does. See if I can fix.
Yeah. Or can't fix some of what I did.
Can't fix some of what I did.
That's an interesting phrasing, right?
Relationships, or actually repair something.
Is there much to read into when somebody says to see if I can fix things versus see if I can't fix some things? Meaning, that's just kind of a weird turn of phrase. Does that matter here? Probably not. They're saying the same thing, right?
Look at how analytical you've become.
Well, you know, people,
just
words
to
matter.
See if I can't do something about that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it still works. I'm just,
that's interesting.
Just wondering.
Using the negative instead of the positive.
Yeah.
I mean, if we were like handwriting experts or investigators, maybe. Sure. No. Okay. So let's just talk about the general premise, since we can't even, our discussing it does not make any more news come out of it.
Yeah.
But let's just talk about it generally. Okay. So 15 years ago, we could make an assumption this person was younger.
Yeah.
And younger people tend to do stupid things and make mistakes. And unfortunately, current generations film those things and they haunt them for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
But everyone's done it, and everyone will continue to do it as you're maturing and growing and doing different things. So this is, you know, kind of, that's just a basic true thing about all people. And then sometimes those mistakes or those behaviors, and sometimes they could have been just, you're a jerk and crappy and treated people poorly or whatever it might be. It could have been more intentional and just like, whatever. You still do bad stuff or make mistakes. Here's where the problem lies. It's that keeping something secret, not being authentic, not, you know, making something right, or, you know, what do you do with all those feelings or those experiences? And it's very possible you didn't feel much at the time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, but most people, what they do is they bury them, they compartmentalize them, they blame whoever the person is that they were bad to. Well, they deserved it, or some type of rationalization or thinking that can justify, so they don't have to feel like they're such a bad person. And then 15 years goes by, that probably puts you at least to 30 at minimum.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing Dave's older than that.
Gotta be, right? Gotta be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 15 is the first time you can make a big mistake in someone's life.
Yeah. Or, you know, even if it's 12, it's still, you know, this still puts him somewhere between 25 and 40, or, you know, maybe more.
Yeah. So he's in the, so at some stage of his life, and maybe he's a little bit older, you know, things change, your views change, your experience change. You got young whippersnappers telling you you're stupid and you suddenly are facing life with a different set of eyes. You have changed, right? And so sometimes these things that have been stored for a long time just come knocking, right? Yeah. And the more something knocks and the more you ignore it, the more sort of torturous it becomes, because it'll knock more. And so maybe that's it. There's this, he's in the contemplation stage of, I got to do something about this. So he's seeking advice. And so I have so many questions. One being, where are you actually at? Right. So whatever you did 15 years ago, where were you at then? What was your state of mind? What was your developmental level? So I'm going to just say, let's say he's like a late teenager, early 20s, and just treated somebody really poorly, who now he would never do that. And it's not until now, after he's heard stories of somebody victimized or treated poorly, or have it, his own experience with a family member or himself, you know, like empathy is developed or maturity has set in. And it's just hard to believe that his former self could do something like that. I think that's really common. So I'm not saying that's what this is, because I have no idea, but that is a fairly common thing. And so that need or desire to make things right makes sense. But so first is to identify, where was I at then? And just maybe instead of needing to blame someone else or feel the full shame of that, it's sort of try to understand who that was, because you're not that person now. Right.
Right.
And maybe even have a little empathy for whoever you were at that stage and why you would ever do that. So one of my favorite things to do with people, and it's really fascinating, you do it with yourself and it's kind of alarming. And that is to ask yourself why 5 times. I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but to ask, you know, like, ooh, I want to sit down and watch this show. And then you go, oh, why? Well, because it's really good and I like it. Okay, why? Well, it's really good because it talks about families and their dynamics. And I find that fascinating. Okay, why? Well, because my family sucks. You know? So you can get to something pretty deep by asking 5 whys. And so that would be an exercise he can do on his own, because it sounds like he's not going to tell anyone what's going on, is to go to that younger self and sort of ask some of those questions, like why, till you get down to some maybe core things that were happening.
Are you ever worried someone's going to punch you after like the 4th why? Like, you know what I mean? It's just,
you're only asking yourself. So
yeah, punch yourself.
It's why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself?
Yeah, good point. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Why? Like, well, because I was hit as a child. Yeah, I mean, you can always get to the therapy point. It's really fascinating, and it really it's hard to do with yourself, because you may not push it, right? You may not go why, and then let's answer it. You know, you might just go, yeah, just because I like the show. Bye.
Yeah.
And so that would be something to start with the younger self, and maybe you're noticing that I'm trying to build some compassion and empathy for whoever the younger version of him was, because nobody, I don't even care if you're sociopathic. You weren't born sociopathic. You kind of have some tendencies and then things happen to you. But for the most part, there is pain that is behind everything.
Yeah.
Everyone who does anything. I think, you know, when we throw narcissism around a lot, we use a lot of psychology words in the, you know, popular lexicon, right? Oh, I'm so OCD. I just clean my house.
Right.
That's
yeah.
not what it is.
Or yeah. whatever. Oh, I have ADHD. I can't pay attention to this movie or whatever.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. And so we throw those around, and one of the things I think we throw around, because when we don't like someone, is we say they're narcissistic.
Yeah.
And if they are or not is sort of irrelevant, and because you're not going to go treat them. But the idea here is that nobody is just narcissistic. That's not like, I'm going to choose these patterns and think I'm better than everyone else and manipulate situations so everyone thinks I'm awesome. No one sets out to do that. They're in pain.
Yeah.
They're not sure they're lovable. I mean, we get talk about the 5 whys. You go deep on that, you would be so sad for every narcissist you've ever met, because of what they're compensating for. And narcissism is this form of compensation. So that's what I'm getting at, is can we go to this younger self and be really compassionate and then move forward in space and time and be really honest with yourself about now. Why now? Why now do you want to come clean? And then mm-hmm. follow up with four more whys. And you might get to, I just want relief. I want to sleep better at night. I want to be a different person. And this is holding me back, or, you know, whatever it is. Right. So get really clear on all that stuff. And maybe, you know, do your work before you go burden somebody with your potential apology, because it's going to be a burden. And let me be clear what I mean. You're not going to go make someone's life better or rescue them because you're rescuing your own pain. You may be bringing more pain.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So if you haven't done your work, then you're being careless with these people yet once again.
Yeah.
I wondered about that. Because they'll all of a sudden feel either embarrassed or upset that they acted a certain way based on something that may not have been true. That's looking at one potential scenario of what we're talking about.
Yeah, and no matter what, like, I mean, it's, again, we have to only guess what this thing was that he did, but it's really makes it really hard. But if it's as severe as he says and as life altering as he says, then there's no way to do this without making sure, like you say, he has to do quote unquote mm-hmm. his work first, or else you may be making this so much worse. Like,
it could reopening be an old
possibly bad. Yeah. Not only reopening it, but dumping like cayenne pepper in it, like really going for it
and making it about you again.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Cause it was about, if you've harmed someone, it was about you.
Yeah.
And to not do that work is pretty selfish. And yet you can do the work. This isn't, you don't have to do it wrong. You can do the work. It's that, there also is another possibility, which is you show up and say, I'm so sorry. And they're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it is possible. Yeah.
And their life is not ruined. And again, that's about you thinking you were more important than you were. And you got to be prepared for that. I mean, this, of course, I'm thinking of 3 billion different scenarios. And the most serious ones, I don't think you should do this work on your own.
Yeah.
Like if you have assaulted someone, if you have lied and created massive drama or whatever you were doing, I don't think it's wise that you just
And we can only assume when he says it was nothing illegal that we're not, you know, because assault would
crime involved.
Yeah, assault would be illegal if it was, you know, abuse of some sort. Like all of those things are illegal, so we can only go off of what he says. But I think you're right. There's probably, you know, it's just a hair away from those things, or things that are maybe not technically illegal, but could be so damaging that you don't want to just do this. I mean, on the one hand, I want to celebrate his contriteness, right? I want to say, hey, this is good. This is a stage of mourning and you're seeking forgiveness. Yeah. You want to try to rectify things. Like that's a good thing to feel and then want to act on, but you can't just wander into the Walmart and scream, sorry. Like it has to be more.
Yes. Done. And you have to recognize that maybe you're craving forgiveness, and that is none of your business if you get it or not.
Right.
And that's what's so hard.
Right.
If you do your work, it will be enough to rectify, come clean, and apologize, no matter how the other person reacts, because you've done it for the right reasons. But if you're going in for, I need forgiveness, I need someone to tell me I'm good, then you're in trouble. So that's why having, you know, really digging deep is going to be crucial here.
Right.
Now, which means, you know, if less serious, he can probably ask himself the 5 whys and get good. But any deeper, it means you might have to share and trust somebody with this information. That's really hard. Really hard.
Yeah.
So understandable that you may not want to. Now, I get why you didn't share with us. And that was smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, maybe there's someone that already is aware of this, and just, you know, work through it so that you are in the right place and, you know, doing the right thing, because it can backfire pretty easily.
Yeah. My guess is he might write back and say, here's what I did. And, you know, and ask us just to keep it between us or something, mm-hmm. which would be fine. We would keep that in confidence, but. Mm-hmm. But it would give us greater context. I mean, I just don't know, because I've learned, I don't know, in the last few years that sometimes my assumptions about, you know, like it's a part of me still believes that every at their core, everyone is good. I think that a lot, but it's been challenged a lot in the last couple of years. And I feel like I'm not really prepared for what this guy did. I don't really want to know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what I want, but, if you want to share it with us, we would keep that to ourselves.
Of course.
But yeah, like I think Wendy's advice holds regardless. Like if you're going to do something about this, do it the best possible way. And that means with help, from, you know, in a safe therapeutic environment where you can talk about this with a therapist and they can help you with this process. That's also a place where you'll know if this was illegal or not, because they can't aid and abet your illegal things that you did. So I don't know. Maybe this will keep them away. Like there's so many questions about this. It keeps messing with what I think you should do, but
I know
it's hard.
It's really hard to give advice when we all have imaginations that we're like, filling in the blank.
Well, there's probably even something too, that says, it says something about us, the things that we come up with as far as what we speculate might be the,
This is the mirror.
It totally is.
He's
like
holding up a mirror.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I wonder what the thing is. I wonder if he ate a bunch of tacos in a parking lot and ruined somebody's life.
Oh no.
Well, and also like that brings up a good point of like I've met people who feel insane amounts of guilt about something that the average person would never feel guilty about. Sure. And so it really vacillates between people and why and what their history is. And, you know, so that going deeper is really important just to make sure you are really changed from the person who did the thing, you know, at that time in your life, and that you are doing it for the right reasons. And you can also like have some empathy for all the wrong reasons you want to do it. It's okay. It's okay that you want forgiveness, or it's okay that you want things to be different. You wish you didn't ruin someone's life. Of course, this is, I mean, there's a lot of people walking around who have been a part of terrible accidents that were their fault. And various other things. You are not alone in facing this. It just feels incredibly alone because this person has been able to keep it secret.
Yeah.
And that carrying that burden around, I promise it's, you know, and take someone who the person they need to apologize to or rectify with is dead.
Mm.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't go and get the things that theoretically they could have if they were alive, but you can still work through it and eventually come to some peace and understanding. So, you know, don't give up.
Yeah. I think that's good advice. Let us know how it goes, or if you want to tell us anything else, but, I don't know. I feel like I'm watching a mystery movie and I need to know you know, that episode of MASH where they get a book in camp and the final page is missing and nobody knows what happened.
Yeah.
So they had to track down the author back in the States and find out who actually killed who.
It turned out to be something really disappointing.
Yeah. It was really lame or it was wrong or I can't remember what, but, MASH has been on in this house again, but anyway, reminds me of this. I just like, we just don't know enough. And that weird lizard brain of mine and wants to know the story, but part of me doesn't. All right. This is good stuff. Wendy, as usual, people can go to realsteps.org and check out what the program is over there. Right now I'm not taking in new people, but you can still sign up for the newsletter and get involved and be ready for the next wave. Anything else you want to mention this week before we go?
It's August. I don't know.
Oh, can I tell you?
It is, right?
Yes, it is. But I want to tell you how lucky you are. How lucky you are to not live in the state of Utah right now. Not because of the smoke. None of that.
Gosh.
It's not the smoke. It's the.
Oh.
It's that your. What is
your
stepdad?
My kids can go to school safely and be treated with respect.
No, it's that John is running his own birthday party plans for his. For his 90th birthday, and we're all gonna die. It's this.
Oh,
it's
brutal. I thought it was the smoke. I thought it was the weird anti-vax parent.
Oh my God. What do you hear more about this now?
Nope. It's just all. No,
I thought his birthday passed. Did I miss
it? It did, but they went to New Jersey and did that side of his family. Now they're doing it here, and it's a huge open house and the food and the whatnot and just the overplanning.
You're all going to construct me a throne made out of your own human hair.
But then he would have to make.
Oh my gosh, that's a good old man voice.
Yeah, it's not bad. We practice it a lot here. We're all working.
We do use that a lot on the show. Yeah.
Anyway, 90s amazing. It's a huge ding. It's great.
Yes, it is. Right.
But he really should let people take care of it and just let them run it. It's really rough.
Anyway, I mean, will you learn, Scott? Will you learn?
So I'm going to go outside, take a big breath of some smoky hot air, and.
Yeah, and go to a city council meeting and yell at the people and threaten their lives.
Yeah, I'll do that. we have some couple of real nutty bars around here these days.
Nutty bars. Yeah, that's great. That's a nice way to say
it. I know they know better. I know they know better. Anyway, hey, Wendy, have a great week. Our best to the kids and husband there. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye now.
All right. Yeah.
Meant to thank her for giving her answers among the birds because it was very soothing to hear chirping and stuff in the background.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I noticed that as well. Oh, speaking of chirping birds and like being out where the birds are, I forgot to tell you at the top of the show, I think I got hooked on a Pokemon Go like.
Oh, yeah, I saw that in the show notes. Yeah, yes. All
that,
right.
It's that Witcher. I always forget the name of the whole thing. Witcher. Where is it? Hold on. Sorry. This is dumb. I should know this. There it is. It just says The Witcher, but I know that's not right. It's The Witcher Monster Slayer. That's it.
Really? And, so it's a Witcher in the Witcher lore
of games. Yeah, so it's the actual Witcher games, you know, like the.
And it's an AR catcher kind of thing?
Yeah, so it's really that. Like here in a second, I'll show you. Wow. I'll show you my dude. He's just out chilling. Here you go. Here, I'll put it on screen so the chat can see it. Wait a minute. Where's you? There you are. So, you know.
Oh, look at that.
Very Pokemon-ish, you know. There's a couple of demons I could fight right now that are in range. Basically, it's a sword fight and chucking bombs and using certain oils and stuff. It uses a lot of the concepts from the game. But, you know, same idea. There's the equivalent of Pokestops, the equivalent of questing and going out and finding a thing. There's some sort of raid stuff toward the end. I got totally hooked on it. I really like it.
It's funny. Yeah, I feel like, you know, there's so many other ways of doing that. That thing that Pokemon Go does really well in different franchises. So it's like, oh yeah, so Pokemon aren't the thing for me, but I like Marvel or I like Harry Potter I like Jurassic Park, and there's other ways of doing it.
Yeah, and I guess people really like that Jurassic Park one. I haven't messed with that much, but
the Garfield one came and went like a fart in the wind.
Oh yeah, I forgot. The Minecraft one, is that still a thing?
The Minecraft one might be. I really got to find a company to do my Marvel idea.
Oh, it'd be amazing. Good luck with that, though, that IP. I don't think
Are you kidding? Marvel gives that out to anybody.
Oh, yeah. They just hand it out. Yeah,
getting a Marvel, having the license a toy or something feels like the easiest thing.
Yeah. Good luck with that. I want to know how that goes for you. all right. Well, so there's that. Just wanted to mention it. And it's pretty cool. It's a little more my speed compared to, say, Pokemon or something. All right. We got a quick mashup to play before we leave. And we're saving the Monday one that we had last Monday for next Monday because I didn't want to do it while you were gone.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. So here's a bonus mashup called Whipped Mouse. And this is a BII, which I think is...
Oh, Brian had been impersonations?
Yeah, there you go.
Or what happened to... we put the list in there. What happened to it?
I think you just put it in the one day.
Oh, I did put in the one day. I didn't put in the template. Yeah, I leave that to you. I didn't think I could mess with the template.
I think you... Oh, can I... Oh, they are locked. Weird. Why did I do that? Oh, that was actually for me, so that if I didn't duplicate it, it won't let me do it either.
I don't need to modify the template. I'm fine with that.
Well, here it is. We're going to hear you impersonate something. So, enjoy.
Hi-ho. Timothy Frog here. Some of the stuff you're about to see is a little racist and insensitive. Enjoy.
They should do it that way.
I'm a juggernaut, bitch.
This show is so gay.
Exactly.
I can see why you like it. Your house fell apart, you boob.
Yeah, you boob, you imbecile.
I'd like to tell you Brian Dufresne gave them caramels.
I'd like to,
but I can't. Brian Dufresne handed out marijuana-laced cookies to a mile of students and came out in jail on the other side.
Kiwi Nun.
You know, don't...
I've got some theories about who this Kiwi Nun is.
They done left a message on 8chan last night.
I'm trying to find out the identity of QAnon.
Hey, there's Cameron Diaz making her way from the kitchen over to the couch. You know, why am I starting to sound a little bit like Bill Cosby?
As tall as Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to make him very sparkly. It's going to be very sparkly. I'll get it finished in three steps. Step one, I'll get it on the 3D printer there. Step two, print it, and there's no step three. There's no step three. I like voodoo potato chips.
It sounds like old people things, but yes, I will do it.
Take it, put it on your nightstand so that you can take it if you wake up in the middle of the night.
Why are Brian's old people always like...
Sal Rosenberg. Yeah.
It's always some sour old Jewish guy.
Should I bring all my glasses with me?
You know, you wouldn't believe the day I had. I just killed a guy.
Yeah.
You know, that day. I didn't really think I'd wake up to find that somebody had gotten into my house.
I'm going to eat your brains. Sorry. Excuse me. I'm going to eat your brains. Got any gravy?
Well, they have lots of guns down there, so I bet they have tasers, too. I'd buy a taser and zap you every time you did it. Bet I'd only have to do it once.
Chocolate-covered, fluffy, whipped mousse.
Whipped mousse.
Whipped mousse.
Hey, Rocky, knock it off. That hurts.
Oh, yeah? Here's something you'll really like.
Ouch! Pull that out of there!
Oh my gosh, I don't remember the Bullwinkle thing. That is freaking funny. What a nasty idea that is.
Yeah.
Wow. All right, before I forget, thank you, Jamie, by the way. That was great.
Yes.
Oh, well done.
Oh, always so good.
This is a quick note that, and I mentioned this yesterday, I would like to mention it again. We're going to get a new mug going for the next milestone of TMS episodes. People like to collect these, and instead of us just making one up like we'd not making them up, but designing what the side should say. Last time it was, I can definitely see why you like it. This time, we're going to let you help us pick some names, and we'd love your ideas. So it's real easy to do. Just go to frogpants.com/mug, M-U-G, and there's a form. You just fill it out. We're not collecting any info. Just, you can even just do a nickname. You can be anonymous. Doesn't matter. We just want to give you credit. And if you do give us your real name, or we find out who you really are, if yours is chosen, you'll get a free mug when these are done.
Of course.
Ooh. Yeah. So...
testing the ship's phasers since 2011.
Yeah, all those things and more can be typed and put into the thing. Go to frogpants.com/mug. Okay? Okay.
Okay.
I think it's going to do it. Patreon.com/TMS is our way of being supported so that we can keep the lights on and you can get content. If you like what we do, hop on over and help us out. Patreon.com/TMS. For everything else, it's frogpants.com/TMS. And... if you're trying to email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. All right. Brian, why don't you give us a second song, which we didn't have for 2 days. What do we have?
I know. Sure. Yeah. Two songs in one show? What? What is this? Last week, Star Lily 268 says, "Dear Beach Ball and Seashell, I'd like to give a shout out to my amazing husband, who is a longtime listener that has pulled me into listening as well. After a long few years with three moves, having two babies and postpartum depression, which diagnosed at the beginning of this global pandemic, my husband's done an outstanding job supporting me and getting help, which now means I feel better. We are going on a much-needed vacation with our two-year-old and six-month-old little girls, and my amazing husband is driving through the night to make things easier on the way to Myrtle Beach. So, Covermaster, will you please find an upbeat Disney cover? Coco is his favorite. To help my husband stay up driving through the night. Please do this any day in August, even on a TMSPM, as we are patrons. Thank you for all the entertainment you guys put out. I can definitely see why you like it. Love the show, though."
Oh, that's really nice.
"I can definitely see why you like it."
That's really sweet. I love hearing about it's cute little girls and everything. What a fun little family. That's awesome.
Have a fun vacation. It sounds like a great time. Get some good beach time and... get sand in places that's going to take you years to pull out.
That's right.
All right, so Coco is a favorite. This one starts out slower, but it does get upbeat because it's from Coco. It starts out as a slow song. As a matter of fact, for those of you who like covers where they stick another cover in the song, you're going to like this a lot.
This is one of my favorite singers and giant clowns, Puddles Pity Party, from a recording, a single he released in 2018, covering the song Remember Me from Coco.
I know I'm different, I do as I please. A spark inside that I can't hide, a mystery. A dream of the big screen, my leaner up in lights. I am my own creation.
Show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Unwrap a frozen pizza.
Yeah.